Trying to throw me off there, aren't you, Maddie? Good morning. Okay, so a new police recruit was taking his final exam, and it was an exam where you stand up in front of all of the other recruits and you answer these questions. And so his sergeant looked at him and he said, "What would you do if you had to arrest your own mother-in-law?" This guy did not miss a beat. He was like, "I would call for backup." So you see, that's what we did last month. We called for backup. We looked at the spiritual truths, which are sort of the groundwork of this teaching. And this month, we're going to kind of step into that power and look at how we put those truths to work, how we put them into action, because it's once they get into action that we start to see the results, that we get to start to move out of that little L of life and step into that spiritual journey of life with a capital L. And we get to merge them together. Sort of like our version of being in this world, but not of it. Not because we're above it, but because we're centered in our truth. In our truth. So, if you're ready for more of that good stuff in your world, this is the right place to be in the month of October. And today I get to start with one of the most powerful ideas of this teaching. And that idea is that if you change your thinking, you change your life. And I have to tell you, it is the most powerful, and to me, when I first heard it, it was the scariest concept possible. You see, I came to a church of religious science longer ago than I want to think about, and I was in a lot of pain. And I came to this church because I wanted to fix it. I wanted to know what I had to do to fix it. I wanted to read the book, take the class, follow the steps, and fix and control my life going forward. I was really clear on what I wanted. Wasn't so clear on why I started crying the minute I walked in the door, but once I stopped crying, I got to hear that idea of change your thinking, change your life, and I walked into that place of regret and beating myself up, that place where how I would never do this to myself, would I? It was all about shame for me. And that's because I didn't hear the real truth behind that statement. That real truth is really the most powerful truth in this teaching, and that is that it's all one. That we are always, 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 always in divine expression of God. And so, when we go to change our thinking, to change our life, we're doing that in divine partnership with the one that never leaves us. The one that never deceives us. The one that never says no to us. And that shifted everything for me. To know, then, that in divine partnership with the one thing itself, the one source, the one creative energy, the one power, the one mind, to know that that one, that very thing itself, as Holmes says, is my partner in this journey. In my partnership, all I need to do is change my thinking, my thoughts, my feelings, my reactions. All I have to do is step into that greater knowing that when I do that, I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it in partnership. I am that I am. That kernel of truth is what made the remarkable shift in my world. All of a sudden, I didn't need to go to a lecture and take a ton of notes to try to figure out my next step. I just needed to breathe. That's all. I realized that I hadn't been breathing in my life. That idea all that sounded so scary to me sounded very comforting all of a sudden. Because there's comfort in knowing you're not doing this by yourself, that you don't have to figure it all out, that you can just trust. Just trust. It was all about going from that level of humanness, I need to fix it, and then make sure I never do it again, to shift it from there to that idea of, there is no manual in life because everybody's got their own way to do it. So there's really nothing for me to fix. There's just some things for me to change. That's all. Just some things for me to change. And that change didn't have to be some giant leap. It could be one small step. And one small step. And then I found there really was a process. And it's called spiritual mind treatment. There is a process. And when I went and met with my first practitioner for a session, I got really clear that that process felt good. That process of recognizing that there's only one, that one is in divine partnership, and that my claim could be as simple as a greater expression of harmony in my life. And that I could let go of things and not even name them. I could just let them go. And then I could sit in gratitude. It was a real life changer. And even though it was a life changer, I get the fact that we'll never really understand God. We'll never really get our hands around the idea of that very thing itself. But in this sacred journey, it's not about totally understanding it. It's about being willing to get to know it better. What I learned that I've never forgotten is that when life is good, you sit in gratitude. When life isn't good, you sit in gratitude. And then you make your declaration, because it is gratitude that is going to keep all of the ups and all of the downs feeling like heaven on earth. Because it all becomes part of that process. And the most important thing I'm sharing with you today is this. Everything that brought us up to this point in time is what brought us to here. And everything from here forward is taking us closer and closer to our dreams if we're willing to align with that truth. If we're willing to align in our partnership with the One, instead of trying to do it all by ourselves, instead of complaining and sitting in it and sharing it, if we're just willing to be thankful that we are where we are and know that when we move forward, we can move forward in complete alignment with our partner. And nobody needs to know that. Nobody. We get to put a gratitude smile on our face and let nobody figure out why it's there. When we are that clear, when we are just that clear. You know, I think about my smartphone. Everybody got a smartphone, right? You get the smartphone and you're all excited. And then you realize that all you really know how to do is answer it and send a text message on it, right? But that's all you really need to do. That's sort of like the beginning of understanding God. You got to start just there with that idea of it's all God. It is all God. Every single one of us here is a divine, individualized expression of it. And it is experiencing its life, its creation through us. Now, how empowering is that, right? It's as empowering as that smartphone. All you need to do is start there. And then, as you start to seek more understanding, just like you start to mess around with your ringtones, right? That was the next thing I did. I messed around with my ringtones. Then I realized I could put different ringtones with different people. That was fabulous. It truly was. you know, and you start playing around with it, and then all of a sudden your emails show up on it. And now I've got this alert feature where it shuts the phone off at 10 p.m. and only certain people can text me or call me with the phone buzzing. Everybody else is like quieted out. You start learning these really cool things, these cool tricks. And that's how it works with our relationship with the divine. We start where we are and we start using it. And we start sitting with it. And we start exploring the ideas of it. And then we start to implement more of it in our daily life. But it all starts with exactly where we are right now, in this moment, in this very moment. In the Bible, it says, "Seek ye the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added unto you." That kingdom of God, despite what anybody else says, in the science of my teaching, we know that that kingdom of God is right within us. Seek to understand your own divine true being. Seek that. Seek that, and then you get to know that you're worthy of everything else. And once we recognize that we're worthy, there is no stopping us. No stopping us. It's been proven time after time after time. And it's no longer scary. It becomes really cool stuff. It becomes really empowering stuff if we start in the beginning with recognizing it is that connection to the one, to the one. I love this little segment from the book, The Note from the Universe. I know that you know there's no more to you than flesh and bones. I know that you know there is more, to you than flesh and bones. I know that you're more than what time and space shows. And I know that there's a greater self, a greater you, beyond any flesh, bone, time, or space. Yet, I also know there's still some question in your mind as to who, what, and where the other parts of you is. Well, I think the time has come to make the introduction. It's me, as you were, the universe. P.S., you weren't expecting some Tinkerbell, were you? That's not who we are. We are the universe. Think about that. Because when you start to understand that, then you can start aligning yourself with that. So, who are you? My new favorite Rumi quote is, "I'm the mighty ocean in a drop of water. The vehicle of concentrated God stuff. The formed expression of the infinite unformed. The manifestation of all that is. A point of light in the eternal sun. The perfect creation of the creator of all." That is who we are. And when we start to be willing to align with that, it gets even better. All of a sudden, I am the mighty ocean in a drop of water, and as such, I have the power of the ocean at my fingertips. I am a vehicle of concentrated God stuff, and as such, I have the power of God concentrated at my disposal. I am a point of light in the internal sun, and as such, it is my birthright to shine. You can't get any more empowering than that. Who doesn't want to align with that? I am that I am. And God is, so I am. So I am. I am not my conditions. I am not the one that has to figure it all out. I am not the one that needs to fret and worry and stew. I am not the one that needs to share how awful things are. I am not the one that needs to obsess about politics. And I am not the one that has a knowing of lack or weakness or not enoughness. I am not that. You are not that. None of us are that. Unless we choose to be that. We are the ocean in a drop, and as such, we have the whole ocean at our disposal. When we start to align our thoughts, our feelings, our beliefs, our attitudes, our values, and most importantly, our words, our actions, and our reactions to that place, when we do that, then we don't have to be right. We just have to be. We don't have to understand how it's going to work out. We just have to know it's going to work out. The founder of religious science, Dr. Holmes, wrote, "All the power of the universe is with you. Feel it, know it, and act as though it were true. Begin to blot out one by one all the false beliefs, the ideas that you are limited, poor, or miserable. Refuse to think of failure or to doubt your own power. See only what you wish to experience and see nothing else. Cannot the great principle of life create for us all that we need? The universe is inexhaustible, limitless, knows no bounds, and has no confines. We are not depending on a reed shaken by the wind, but on the principle of life itself, for all that we have and ever shall need. It is not some power or a great power. It is all power." And when we start to understand it and align with it, we become all self-empowered. Think about it. This mind of the one creator is your mind. It is the ocean in that drop, which is you expressing as you, which is me expressing as me. And when we come together, it is us expressing as us. As us. We, right here and right now, we are the perfect creation of the creator of all. That's all we need to know. And as we start to dig deeper to understand that at a more personal level, then there's no stopping us. I want to share a story that Angel shared on Wednesday night at the prosperity class. He's given me permission, so here we go. So Angel's son and his wife and his baby were looking for an apartment. So the family all goes out. They find this perfect apartment. Perfect. A little one-bedroom place. Beautiful. They talk to the building manager. They fill out the application, pay the application fee. The building manager is like, "Nobody else, you've got this, don't worry about it. I appreciate it, I'll give you a call later and just confirm it all up." Everything was good. They go about their happy way, get a phone call. "Sorry, we can't let you have the apartment. It's too small of an apartment for three people," was the answer he got, and that was it. So, needless to say, Angel, the best hugger on the planet, was a little upset. Just a little. In fact, his whole family was a little upset. And you can imagine how upset you would be, how disappointed you would be, how much worry you would have. Not only did you not get the place, but you lost the application fee, right? After you already had it. So they all kind of stewed for a little while, which is normal. But then Angel decided, look it, it's all God. So he informed the family, "We're all getting together tonight, we're gonna have dinner, and we're gonna celebrate." And that's what he did. He started praying, started doing his mind treatment, started getting his energy back into that gratitude mode, went to the grocery store, picked up wonderful stuff for dinner, came home, the whole family got involved in making this lovely, lovely celebratory meal. And just as they get ready to sit down to start the meal, Angel gets a call from a friend who says, "I have a studio apartment. It's empty. It's got a nice little yard. Have your meal. After dinner, come over, check it out, and if you want it, it's yours." Bigger, better, closer, and it comes with a built-in babysitter, i.e. the friend's wife. Now.
Less money.
Oh, and less money, too. I forgot that part. Thank you, Larry. It was a prosperity class, after all. And less money. We are so powerful when we just get out of our own way. When we move from that energy of, I am my conditions, and we take a breath, we give thanks for who we are, because that's not who we are. We are more than that. We are the whole ocean in a drop. We are one ray of light from the eternal sun, and all that is eternal is right here. Right here. And when we just become willing to let go of what isn't working and step into our power without having to worry about how it all shows up, when we align with the source, which, by the way, we're always in line with, right? It's just a matter of being consciously aligned, right? It's like that. So whole idea of this is an abundant universe. It could be abundant full of good stuff, or it could be abundant full of bad stuff. Right? It just depends on how we align. When we spend time with Source, we start to understand God like we're understanding our smartphone. And we start to implement and use all of those God qualities, just like all of those smartphone qualities. We start to put them in play in our life. If we align with it, there is no stopping us. None. So, your assignment this week comes from Nora Brooks. She was the founder of Divine Science, and here's what she wrote. Life is one truth, beauty, love, wisdom, power, and joy. Life is. This life is one with that truth, with that beauty, with love, with wisdom, with power, and with joy. It is a rendezvous with goodness, courage, kindness, faithfulness, service, and it is calling you and me to action. Life, above all, is a rendezvous with God. And if we do not keep it, we miss the joy of living. Your assignment this week is to find time to have a rendezvous with God, with Spirit, with whatever you call it, with that very thing itself. Have a rendezvous. Enjoy it. Allow the mystery of it to start to unfold within your kingdom. And then all will be given to you. And so it is.